from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Happy 4th of July!
Time to gather with friends and family and eat way too much. Can you pass the beans, please?
Don't eat too much. Have fun with your family.
Happy 4th of July from Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app. It is the Dopey Millennial Show. Caleb Johnson here with you, starting hour number two, I should say, of the show. Look, I threw out a question for you all. I want to see if you got any answers to this one. 404-726-0929 is the number to call. What's the best freebie you've ever received? With it being 4th of July, freedom on the brain. You know, it got me thinking of some of the best freebies I've ever received. And it doesn't matter where it came from, who gave it to you, if it was free to you. It counts, because I had an interesting thing that happened to me this week that really absolutely could have destroyed my day on Tuesday. Absolutely could have destroyed my day. And because of a freebie, really kind of sent me on my way feeling a lot more positive about just how the day went. So what's the best freebie you've ever received? Call us up, 404-726-0929. Now, on Tuesday, I had run some errands before work. And so, you know, I was driving out in town. It was one of those things, need to wash the car, need to get a couple of groceries that I knew I would need for today, honestly enough, for July 4th. I was grilling out and that sort of thing. So I knew, needed to run some errands, needed to wash the car. Also, when I left the house, it was like, oh, I really need gas. And so, got to put that on the list. So I go, wash the car, all goes fine. Go to the grocery store, pick up the groceries that I need. I am leaving the grocery store parking lot, and I get out on the main road to get back towards my house, and I start hearing a tick, 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 tick. And I was like, that's not good. That's not. And it was one of those, I don't know if you've ever had those moment of you hear something that you know is going to be a problem, and just for like 10 to 15 seconds, you go like, maybe I'm just imagining things. Like, maybe I didn't just hear that.
Whatever it is, I don't have the money to fix it, so I'm just going to turn the radio up.
Yeah. So I had that feeling for a second. As it persisted, I could recognize that this was tire-related. And I was like, all right, let me pull over in this parking lot because I have a feeling where my day is about to go. And the issue with that is I had left around lunchtime, and I knew that I had sports flashes to get ready for and all of these sorts of things. So I'm lining up my day. But I pull over because I realize there's something going on with my tire because I hear this tick, 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 tick sound every time as I'm going down the road. Sure enough, I look at my passenger rear tire, and there's a big giant nail sticking out of it. A weirdly, like, I think must have been associated with a roofing sort of project just because of it was a very big flat on the top of it nail, but it was in the, not in the sidewall, but just like in the bottom of the tire itself. So I had this feeling of, hey, maybe this thing is not as bad as it seemed, because I had the thought go through my mind of like, do I really have to change a tire right here, right now? Like, this is, and it's so funny, Dom, because, you know, we act like whenever an inconvenience hit us, it's like, I don't have time for this. But in all honesty, when do we ever have time to be dealing with an inconvenience? And so I going through the thought process of, I need to, you know, I got to get this nail out of the tire. It's going to need to be fixed. I don't know how quickly it's losing air. I don't hear anything. And so then I had the decision to make, do I put the spare on here and go through that struggle with the terrible little tiny jack that they give you in your car, or do I try to get this thing to a tire shop? So I get it to a tire shop that is very close to where I was, and thankfully very close to my house. And I'm kind of like, is this something you guys can deal with today? Or am I about to be majorly inconvenienced without a vehicle, having to share my wife's vehicle, and that, all of that sort of thing? And they were like, nope, we can get you in today. I think they told me it was like, oh, this is going to be like $25 if we can plug it, or obviously more if you've got to buy a new tire. So I was like, all right, getting to do that whole charade, and then getting back home, getting onto work, all of those sorts of things. So they don't call me until much later in the day and tell me it's ready. I'm able to go get my car picked up. When I walk in, tell them, hey, I'm here for I'm here for the Civic. And the lady's like, okay. And she's like putting some stuff into the computer, and she hands me my keys. And I'm like, okay. I'm kind of waiting there. I'm like, how much is it? She was like, don't worry about it.
Oh, you're a better man than me. You hand me the keys. Cool.
it was just the, like, I was in a state of confusion, because I was like, you performed a service. You fixed my tire.
Right. No, you're a good Samaritan. I understand. I'm just a terrible person.
Fair enough. And so it was really one of those things that, like, she was like, she just kind of like shrugged her shoulders. She was like, it says zero on here, and handed me my keys, and I went on about my day. And it was the realization once I got into my car of like, I got a flat tire before work started, close to before work started, and I was not at my house. Like, this could have really turned into a very inconvenient day. And all, I mean, by the end of it, it was like, I am out no money. I am out no real time. I didn't miss work. Like, nothing, anything that could have been bad about this entire experience did not happen. And so that's why I say it got me thinking of best freebie you've ever received. Call us up, 404-726-0929. I know another part of this is because I was firsthand experiencing this last night. Of fans and their bobbleheads. Freebies at baseball games, people go crazy for
Absolutely.
Them. I was walking around, but after I got into the stadium, and just, there's a couple things I like to check out while I'm at the game on like the regular fan level. And it's also, I'm just a nosy person. And so when it's a bobblehead night, I like to see what the craze is like. And it was surely like, it was, they had security at a lot of the gates because people go crazy over a free bobblehead. And then on the flip side of things, people then often not only get a free bobblehead, they make money off of it because they will list it on Facebook Marketplace or eBay. because maybe you weren't there for the bobblehead and you completely missed out on it. But do you have one, Dom, a freebie that you've had, best that you've ever had?
Best freebie, yes. So similar to Keith Smith. And it's funny because it was me and my brother. And looking back on it, like, it was cool that they did it for us, but, like, looking back on it as an adult, I would have been very upset. So my brother and I were on a flight to Pittsburgh one time because we always go up there because that's where, like, our grandmother and stuff stays.
Mm-hmm.
And so we got bumped up to, like, you know, the economy class or business class or whatever that was up there for Delta. And mind you, we're, like, 10. So we're just kind of like, oh, cool, bigger seats and, like, unlimited snacks. But, like, we couldn't really appreciate it for real.
Sure.
And so, like, looking back on it now, it's very funny because, like, I'm sure there's probably, like, two adults that were like, what? Why do the kids need this? What? They won't even be able to appreciate this. They don't even know.
They don't need the leg room.
They don't understand how much of a blessing this is.
Yeah, they don't need the leg room. They've got smaller legs. You know what? Me over here, I want that sort of thing. That's
So I've had the unexpected upgrade, which was nice, but I would love to get that as an adult.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, and I was thinking, like, with what Keith said, like, on a 12-hour flight.
That's the thing, too. On a 12-hour flight, that's awesome. Because, like, the flight from here to Pittsburgh is, like, maybe an hour and a half, 2 hours max.
Yeah.
So, like, it's a short flight. 12 hours in first class is awesome.
Look, I'm headed out to Vegas for Summer League next week. And I'm thinking, you know, if the plane gods could hear me out and I could get an upgrade to first class, if there even is first class on those flights, I would for sure be in favor of getting an upgrade along those lines. I have my buddy Rashad texted me and said, as far as a freebie, so he went and covered a Kanye West back when he was doing the like choir tours, and they had one out in L.A. And he got a free pair of Yeezys.
Oh, nice.
And the music. What was the, like, circular pod?
The thing that Kanye was selling.
He tried to
it
make it a thing.
Cool.
It looks really cool. Could, like, separate the stems of the music. That seemed like a really cool thing. So, you know, getting free pair of shoes and a music device, that's always pretty cool. All right. Let's go to the phone lines and get Manny in Powder Springs. Manny, what's the best freebie you've ever received?
Well, actually, I had two, but I won't belabor the airline because I was bumped one time. Got a limo ride, hotel, and a first-class flight and a free $500 voucher for just volunteering to be bumped. But the interesting one that I've got most recently, and this has happened three times. I don't know if you're familiar with this online order service, Temu. They're kind of like Amazon.
Yeah.
And their products are a little less expensive. But anyway, I ordered about $140 worth of stuff, and I did not get it in time. And I called and said, hey, look, you promised it'd be here by the 15th. It's now the 17th. And they said, well, look, we're sorry. We're going to refund all your money. How do you want it? We'll give you a credit for the $140, or we'll refund it back to your card. And when you get the merchandise, you can just keep it. And that's happened twice. I've got all my money back the very same day, and they put it back on my card. And the merchandise came a day or so later, and I was able to get the merchandise free and have my money back.
Wow, that's pretty great. Thanks for the phone call, Manny. So getting your items for free just because they came a little bit later, and then just because you're willing to be bumped off a plane, getting limo, hotel, and a voucher. It's a pretty sweet deal. We'll continue this conversation as well as get into a recent list of secondaries in the NFL. Where the Falcons rank. We'll talk about it next on the Dopey Millennial Show. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/AtBat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game says, Happy 4th of July and be safe.
Get Star Spangled Hammered.
Happy 4th from Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app. It is the Dopey Millennial Show. Caleb Johnson here with you going until 10 o'clock this evening. You know, we were having a discussion last segment about best freebie you've ever received. Well, I have a friend of mine, Joey, who was telling me, reminding me of a freebie that kind of keeps on giving for him, which is he bought an item at some point off Amazon. And he got an email that I for sure would have ignored thinking it was spam. That was like, hey, if you liked this item, you'd probably like this item that we have that I think he bought like a headlamp. And they were like, we also have a survival guide that we could give you completely for free. Just leave us a review once you purchase it or once we send it to you. So they send it to him. He leaves the review. He gets another email that says, hey, thanks so much for leaving that review. Here is $50 to spend on Amazon in a form of a gift card. We also have this other item that we would like to send to you and have you review. And we will also send you another gift card after that point. This man's been doing this for like, I don't know how many items he's on now at this point, Dom. It is insane. And it's one of those. He showed me the original email, and I was like, 100% looks like spam. Looks like they are. I was like, do they have your Amazon account information? Do they have your debit card information? None of this stuff. No. Okay. I don't know what the scam is, but it is resulting in him getting a bunch of free items and being paid for just reviewing those free items, which I feel like at the end of the day, pretty sweet deal.
Yeah, I was gonna say I'll do it. Listen, I gotta hit up Amazon next time I buy something and look.
Yeah, it's one of those check your spam, I guess. But don't get don't have someone, send you something that's gonna mess with your computer, or your phone, or whatever. But how about that? So 404-726-0929. If you want to call us up. And tell us about the best freebie you've ever received. We will be happy to take those phone calls. Yeah, Dom's looking behind my shoulder as I hope everyone is having a safe 4th of July. Inside now, if you're inside, if you're in Atlanta, because it just went from, humid, hot day earlier today for the Peachtree to some serious rain looks like is coming down and headed our way in Midtown. So
yeah, I kept on looking. Like this. I did like a five take, and Caleb finally realized he's looking at something and took a look back. Yeah, I've been able to just watch the rain start to slowly come towards us. It actually looks pretty sweet. But yeah, it's looks like it's starting to get pretty crazy out there. So everyone be safe.
Yeah, absolutely. Hope you're being safe out on the roads if you're out driving. Hope you're staying dry if you're trying to celebrate the 4th of July. Look, going from freedom to free safety. Can I make that transition? Yay. No, but Pro Football Focus came out with a list this week as we are slowly approaching list season, right?
List season. It's not even slowly approaching. We're here.
We're here? Okay, we are here. Yeah, fair enough. It's funny, you know, Dom, I was at the Braves game last night, and a fellow journalist of mine who typically would see me at Hawks games saw me there, and he was like, man, you're here? Like, things are slow, I guess, right? And I was like, no. Like,
slow
I was,
news day?
I was actually scheduled. Like, I was supposed to be working the game. It was fine. But it was funny to be like, yeah, it is that time of year where, like, baseball is front and center. We're dealing with list season. But a list that came across my attention this past week came from Pro Football Focus, ranking the top secondaries in the NFL. Now, first off, Dom, have you seen this list?
I have not.
Okay, good. Perfect. Because I can then ask you, one through, you know, if we're going top to bottom,
uh-huh,
1 through 32,
mm-hmm,
where do you think the Falcons rank amongst secondaries in the NFL?
Mm-hmm. So the issue is that you have one who is a certified stud, A.J. Terrell, has consistency issues. So, like, you have those two top-end guys that could push them a little
bit
higher.
Yeah, so you got Jesse Bates and A.J. Terrell that could cause them to rise. And the rest of this list, you know, the rest of the names are on the Falcons secondary.
I would say, let's say 20.
20 is 20, fair.
20, exactly at 20.
20 is a very fair number. So Pro Football Focus ranks the Atlanta Falcons secondary 22nd.
Okay, I was close.
You were close. Now, you might not like to know that your Pittsburgh Steelers are 23.
We're in the same situation.
It's a very similar,
very similar situation. So, we got Minkah Fitzpatrick and Joey Porter Jr.
And you're going, who else?
Exactly.
And I think even a lot of people, very similar situations that you have in Atlanta and Pittsburgh, where you even have one of those guys has a bit of consistency problems, whether it's A.J. Terrell for the Falcons or Minkah for the Steelers, who, like, you know, you think really solid player. Like, I feel everyone is very comfortable, and it just feels the free agency signing of Jesse Bates to this Falcons secondary cannot be understated. And I really feel like is a big reason as to why the Falcons general manager still has his job. Like, you have to think a big part of Terry still sticking around is the simple fact of hitting on some free agents and Jesse Bates being a big part of that.
He's shown he can land the big fish in free agency. Like,
yes.
I've went out, and this is multiple off seasons where I went out and I got us arguably the best safety in the league, and then I went out and I got us the best quarterback that was on the market. Like, he's shown an ability to bring guys here.
It's funny because a lot of people would say, well, you just did the obvious thing. But how many times have we dealt with not doing
exactly
the obvious thing?
Exactly. Yeah.
You know? So, when I saw this list come out and I wondered, I was actually more in the camp of closer to 25, I think, just because the big question marks that we're really wondering about is the what level of progress you're going to see from DeMarco Helms, as he was a, you know, pretty, well, for Bama fans, maybe not so much, but for, you know, for the Falcons, being a seventh round pick and stepping into the role that he has now stepped into at strong safety is, you know, surprising, I would have to say. From the rest of this, though, is we've talked so much this offseason, and I've asked multiple people, do they feel the Falcons are going to upgrade at the cornerback position opposite A.J. Terrell? Because I think there are questions about Clark Phillips III. There are certainly questions about Mike Hughes, you know, and him kind of, you know, holding down that nickel position once again. This is just, it's not even necessarily, doesn't have the name value to it. It is a mix of really solid with what you've gotten Jesse Bates, and then you just can't predict what you're going to get the rest of the way. So putting them 22 on this list, I feel like right now, secondary corner specifically, is that the Falcons' weakest position? Because it certainly...
It feels like pass rush is the one that is the most important that the Falcons need to address. However, I think they're big because at the very least you have options with the pass rush. Like, okay, maybe Zach Harrison takes a step. Maybe Arnold Ebiketie figures it out. Maybe Braylon Trice is a guy, right? Like you have some options with the pass rushing. Secondary, it's just Jesse and AJ.
I think that is what does it for me as feeling like the secondary is the weaker of those, specifically corner, just for the simple fact of, yes, pass rush, the Falcons do not have name value at that position, and certainly that plays a part, but they at least addressed it in the draft. You may not like that they didn't address it at 8. You may not like it with who they ultimately decided to address the position with, but they did address it more so on a hopeful, optimistic perspective than one of we're just going to kind of see. And that feels like the direction that they have gone with cornerback, where if we could be going into a second year of Clark Phillips III as a backup, I would feel a whole lot more comfortable with that. You also think if Richie Grant had been a better draft pick and had developed more, you'd be more optimistic about the secondary. But as it stands currently on July 4th, and you have to wonder if the Falcons are really going to sign someone who's going to come in before training camp at this point, or if they are just kind of... Because I feel like, Dom, like anyone that they sign at this point, we're not getting a starter at corner.
Yeah, no.
You're just getting depth. Like I know because they'd signed depth in Antonio Hamilton. But it feels like that is, for me, the number one question mark position that I am putting on the Falcons this year. And seeing them at 22nd feels like right around where the Steelers are. The Patriots are ahead of them. The Eagles actually below them, as that's been an interesting one where they went in, last season, high expectations of what they were going to be in the secondary, and it was like, oh.
They were one of the worst secondaries in the league last year.
And then it was just like, oh, not good. But they had pass rush. And so I think that is the thing that everyone constantly comes back to when it comes to expectations for the Falcons in 2024 is obviously it's going to come on the defensive side of the ball. Like I think people, you can talk yourself into and you can reasonably convince yourself that offensively things are going to be far better than they were a year ago. But defensively, I mean, the NFL runs off of strong secondary, strong pass rush, or one or the other.
Thought you were going to do an NFL runs on Duncan there. Thought that's what we were
runs on Duncan.
For a second.
But it, defensively runs on strong pass rush or strong secondary play, and having the 22nd best secondary according to Pro Football Focus, which take it for what it's worth. I get it, but I feel like it's a pretty reasonable ranking. Makes you wonder. It makes you question what this Falcons defense is going to look like in 2024 and how competitive this team can be because of that side of the ball. All right, when we get back, going to continue some Hawks discussion with Glenn Willis of ATL and 29, as well as Peachtree Hoops. It's all coming up next on the Dopey Millennial Show, Sports Radio 99 The Game and the Odyssey app.
Nothing says 4th of July like burgers on the grill and blowing stuff up.
I love watching the fireworks. The fireworks are just a lot of fun.
Happy 4th from Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
I got to talk. I got to tell what I feel. I got to talk about my life as I see it.
Biggie.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app. It is the Dopey Millennial Show. Caleb Johnson here with you going until 10 o'clock this evening. Hope you are staying dry on this July 4th. Is like I mentioned earlier, it was a very sunny, hot morning here in Atlanta for the Peachtree Road Race. Had to bring out a black flag and, you know, do all of those sorts of things because of it reaching over 90 degrees. And yet now it is absolutely monsooning down in here in Midtown. And so it makes me wonder, it's got to be headed up towards the Marietta area where the Braves are currently playing right now. So you got to wonder if there's a rain delay on the way for all of those folks up there on this July 4th. I know the rain coming now hopefully is able to get out of the way by the time nightfall comes so that fireworks can commence and all of those sorts of things. You know, Dom, Abe earlier was like really poo-pooing on fireworks, that why we have so many technological advances and things, and fireworks are one of them that we haven't. And it's like, because you just enjoy it for the spectacle that it is. But apparently Abe is much more interested in like the drone shows that are happening now, which is like,
yeah, okay, like light shows and stuff like that.
Yeah, I could see it. But anyway, let's change the conversation to the Atlanta Hawks, who are a team that fans just keep being like, oh, when are they going to make a move? When are they going to make a move? As if making a big trade a week ago is not a big move. We're going to go to the WadeFord.com hotline and bring in Glenn Willis of the ATL and 29 podcast, as well as he's a contributor for Peachtree Hoops. Glenn, how are you doing on this July 4th?
I'm good. Yeah, we're in the dead period before this NBA moratorium ends, and everybody's waiting for tomorrow night, I think, to see what else might happen.
Yeah, it's one of those things as we kind of, you know, ramp up for Summer League to come. I know, you know, fans get in the want to see moves. You want to see moves, exciting moves. But like I said, we are not long removed from, even though I know it's not official yet, but the DeJounte Murray trade to the Pelicans. Now that we have seen, you know, the results that have come out of this thing, Dyson Daniels, Larry Nance Jr., EJ Liddell, 2025 Lakers first round pick, 2027 first round pick. Glenn, where do you kind of feel as to how the Hawks fared in this trade?
I mean, I think they did well. I mean, DeJounte Murray is a good player. But I mean, the statistical baseline, if even if we just go with that, you know, he and Trey were not performing, I think the way that they had hoped together.
Sure.
There's a lot of overlap in their skills, even though they played the point guard position a little differently than the other. Does, but it wasn't quite resulting in sort of the offensive outcome I think that was hoped for. And then you end up with two guards that are a little on the smaller side defensively too. So there are a lot of challenges I think that were a bit expected, but maybe were bigger challenges than were, you know, originally envisioned. So I think it was smart to kind of go ahead and move on. I think the return they got was good. I think, you know, Dyson Daniels is an up and coming defender in the league. And if you kind of look across the roster now coming out of the draft, out of the trade, Dyson Daniels, age 21, 6'8", Zachary Richesh, age 19, 6'9", Jalen Johnson, 6'9", age 22, Kobe Bufkin, a guard, 6'4", age 20. So they have a lot, you know, one of their biggest issues defensively last year, they just didn't have enough size. And when you look at the young guys with defensive size, they're starting to kind of add into this roster. I think that's really addressing maybe their biggest issue last year.
Yeah, Glenn, you know, it's funny to me that I had heard some talk amongst fans after the trade went down that the focus being on Dyson Daniels and that, oh, man, well, this is a guy who's really got to improve his shooting. But it's funny because, you know, you go from, all right, you had the offensive elements, but you didn't have enough defense. And now you address defense and you're worried about not having enough offense. Do you think the offensive game that Dyson has right now is enough to be a concern? Or do you think the defensive elements that he's going to bring with his size and his point of attack defending is going to be enough to make up for that and make it a non-issue?
So I think fans that question the offense are reasonable to do that, right? So he was like a 38% shooter from the threes from the corner last year. But I think what's underappreciated is his ball handling, pretty strong. His passing, really strong. His play in transition is strong. And so, you know, I think a lot of us think when you're building lineups around Trey, you need shooting, shooting, shooting. And that's true. And that's not a strength of his right now. So I do, but I think when we reflect on how Quinn wants his team to play, the way he wants them to play, as he calls it, on the catch, make a decision on the catch within half a second to shoot, attack the closeout, attack the paint, kick, pass it. And Daniels is wired for fast processing and fast decision making, even if the shooting needs some improvement there. So a lot of, I think if we overfixate on the shooting, you see the issue. But some of the other things that Quinn wants his wings and off-ball players to do on offense, a lot of that is already wired into the way he plays.
Talking with Glenn Willis on the WadeFord.com hotline, Glenn of the ATL and 29 podcast, as well as the Petrie Hoops contributor. You can follow him on social media at Willis_Glenn. Look, it seems like the Hawks right now, limited cap space, you know, until they're going to hit that luxury tax threshold. There's been discussions of if they're going to continue to upgrade this team currently, if they kind of just ride it out. One of the names that I have seen you amongst, you know, discussion with as a potential sign and trade option being DeMar DeRozan. Are you in on that being a viable option for the Hawks to go out and get, or do you think, you know, potentially that's a move the Hawks stay away from?
Well, so I think he'd be a really interesting fit for the Hawks. Now, Hawks fans that like are trying to like, hey, let's shoot higher, right? I think they may not have a full appreciation for kind of where the Hawks are on, in terms of their cap sheet. I know you had Keith Smith on in the last hour, and he could do a way better job than me explaining the maneuvering that has to happen around that. So to be able to do a sign and trade with DeRozan, first of all, DeRozan would have to pick the Hawks, and I have no idea what the likelihood of that is. I've seen nothing. I've heard nothing around that. The other thing is the Hawks would have to maneuver down below the first apron to be able to be under the first apron after making that move. So that's probably trading two players that are making real money as a starting point. Maybe that's Hunter. Maybe that's Capella. Maybe that's someone else. But it would take some work to do that. But for me, losing DeJounte and then finding a replacement while you're grooming Ricochet to play the three down the road, DeRozan coming in, playing that position, his ability to play with force, his efficiency as a scorer, his ability to play off of Trey. I think, again, if you go into a lab and design the perfect guy, is DeRozan the perfect guy? No, but where the Hawks are financially, you can't go seek the perfect guy, but he brings a lot of stuff. For example, DeJounte being smaller didn't finish at the rim at a super high level. DeRozan does, right? And so you just get a bigger guy, a more forceful offensive player. I think it would work quite well, but it starts with DeRozan saying, okay, that's somewhere I'd be open to playing.
Sure. How much does the fact of you'd have to sign him to a multi-year deal, probably what we're talking 3-4 years in the, I'd have to imagine, the $20 million range. How much of that combined with the fact that he is, what, going to be 35 or is 35, does that factor into the Hawks' decisions?
Yeah, so again, a lot of this goes back to what DeRozan wants. So that they would, in a sign and trade, has to be a 3-year deal, but only the first year has to be guaranteed. And if you read the reporting, it sounds like DeRozan might want to get back on the market in 1 year. So if the Hawks, you know, offer, okay, you know, 3 years, second and third year, kind of an option that can get him back on the market, that I think that's one way the Hawks might be able to attract him there, if that's something that they want to do. So there's a little bit more flexibility there than just an outright fully guaranteed 3-year deal. And again, the big thing is if he wants to get back on the market next summer because he's not getting the contract he wants this summer, that might help the Hawks a little bit there.
Glenn, it feels like the stock on Onyeka Okongwu is pretty low coming off a bit of a disappointing season, having the toe injury, you know, top all of that as well. Are you someone who is still a believer in Onyeka and his contributions to this team? Do you think that can kind of step up this year, or is he potentially a guy who is looking, you know, to be on his way out of the city?
So I'm still a believer, especially in the offense. I do think there's quite a bit he needs to clean up defensively. And then that's a long conversation we don't have to talk about.
Sure.
But offensively, his ability to handle, pass, self-create, his ability to drive the ball. Opposing centers really just can't keep him generally in front. But there's a question, like, how much with Trae Young on your team, how much do you want to lean into playing through a guy like Onyeka Okongwu, who's very skilled offensively for a center? And that's something, like, only Quinn really knows how comfortable he is tilting the offense towards him having more usage, right? So I believe the offensive package is pretty unique. On defense, I think putting bigger guys at the 2, the 3, and the 4 will help him be more successful defensively. And I think that's an important thing that they're constructing. For me, I may have even told you last time we talked, whether the Hawks go with the center in the draft or not tells me a lot about how they feel about Okongwu. Them choosing Ricochet tells me potentially they really do believe in him as their long-term starter, but they want to build a lineup with more defensive leads around him, more rebounding around him to set him up for more success defensively. So, I could look foolish in 48 hours if he's in a trade, you know, but for me, I think the Ricochet pick makes me think that they're pretty bullish on him, but that they want a different lineup construction to set him up for success.
Yeah, no, it certainly is one of those, just because he hasn't been a part of a deal so far makes you think that it is certainly possible that they see long-term goals in him. Now, Glenn, someone that at least for the immediate future, they declined to bring him back for the moment, allowing him to be an unrestricted free agent, is Sadiq Bey. Do you see him as being someone that is still in the Hawks' plans, or was, you know, declining that that option for him just kind of a sign that he's on his way out, as he's got this upcoming season where he's going to be rehabbing and you don't really know how much of the season he's going to be able to play?
Yeah, that is such a tough one, because for me, when you're coming back from an injury, maybe being in a familiar setting, like coming back to the same setting you were in last year, working with and I know the Hawks have had some turnover in their training and health staff, so I don't know how much that means, but I mean, part of it just might be like, does he want to kind of stay somewhere that's familiar to him to do all the work of this rehab, or does he just want to go somewhere that will tell him, hey, when you're ready to go in February or whenever it is, we're going to commit to playing you, right? And I would have to think a guy who's going to be an unrestricted free agent, presumably if he's on a short-term deal, could be an unrestricted free agent a year from now, he'd want to go somewhere where they're committing playing time to him. Can the Hawks do that the way they're building their roster? That might be pretty hard for them.
Nothing says 4th of July like burgers on the grill and blowing stuff up.
I love watching the fireworks. The fireworks are just a lot of fun.
Happy 4th from Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
I got to talk. I got to tell what I feel. I got to talk about my life as I see it.
Biggie.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app. It is the Dopey Millennial Show. Caleb Johnson here with you going until 10 o'clock this evening. Hope you are staying dry on this July 4th. Is like I mentioned earlier, it was a very sunny, hot morning here in Atlanta for the Peachtree Road Race. Had to bring out a black flag and, you know, do all of those sorts of things because of it reaching over 90 degrees. And yet now it is absolutely monsooning down in here in Midtown. And so it makes me wonder, it's got to be headed up towards the Marietta area where the Braves are currently playing right now. So you got to wonder if there's a rain delay on the way for all of those folks up there on this July 4th. I know the rain coming now hopefully is able to get out of the way by the time nightfall comes so that fireworks can commence and all those sorts of things. You know, Dom, Abe earlier was like really poo-pooing on fireworks, that why we have so many technological advances and things, and fireworks are one of them that we haven't. And it's like, because you just enjoy it for the spectacle that it is. But apparently Abe is much more interested in like the drone shows that are happening now, which is like,
yeah, okay, like light shows and stuff like that.
Yeah, I could see it. But anyway, let's change the conversation to the Atlanta Hawks, who are a team that fans just keep being like, oh, when are they going to make a move? When are they going to make a move? As if making a big trade a week ago is not a big move. We're going to go to the WadeFord.com hotline and bring in Glenn Willis of the ATL and 29 podcast, as well as he's a contributor for Peachtree Hoops. Glenn, how are you doing on this July 4th?
I'm good. Yeah, we're in the dead period before this NBA moratorium ends, and everybody's waiting for tomorrow night, I think, to see what else might happen.
Yeah, it's one of those things as we kind of, you know, ramp up for Summer League to come. I know, you know, fans get in the you want to see moves, exciting moves. But like I said, we are not long removed from, even though I know it's not official yet, but the DeJounte Murray trade to the Pelicans. Now that we have seen, you know, the results that have come out of this thing, Dyson Daniels, Larry Nance Jr., EJ Liddell, 2025 Lakers first-round pick, 2027 first-round pick. Glenn, where do you kind of feel as to how the Hawks fared in this trade?
I mean, I think they did well. I mean, DeJounte Murray is a good player. But I mean, the statistical baseline, if even if we just go with that, you know, he and Trey were not performing, I think the way that they had hoped together.
Sure.
There's a lot of overlap in their skills. Even though they played the point guard position a little differently than the other does, but it wasn't quite resulting in sort of the offensive outcome I think that was hoped for. And then you end up with two guards that are a little on the smaller side defensively too. So there are a lot of challenges I think that were a bit expected, but maybe were bigger challenges than were, you know, originally envisioned. So I think it was smart to kind of go ahead and move on. I think the return they got was good. I think, you know, Dyson Daniels is an up and coming defender in the league. And if you kind of look across the roster now coming out of the draft, out of the trade, Dyson Daniels, age 21, 6'8", Zachary Richesh, age 19, 6'9", Jalen Johnson, 6'9", age 22, Kobe Bufkin, a guard, 6'4", age 20. So they have a lot, you know, one of their biggest issues defensively last year, they just didn't have enough size. And when you look at the young guys with defensive size, they're starting to kind of add into this roster. I think that's really addressing maybe their biggest issue last year.
Yeah, Glenn, you know, it's funny to me that I had heard some talk amongst fans after the trade went down that the focus being on Dyson Daniels and that, oh man, well, this is a guy who's really got to improve his shooting. But it's funny because, you know, you go from, all right, you had the offensive elements, but you didn't have enough defense. And now you address defense and you're worried about not having enough offense. Do you think the offensive game that Dyson has right now is enough to be a concern? Or do you think the defensive elements that he's going to bring with his size and his point of attack defending is going to be enough to make up for that and make it a non-issue?
So I think fans that question the offense are reasonable to do that, right? So he was like a 38% shooter from the threes from the corner last year. But I think what's underappreciated is his ball handling, pretty strong. His passing, really strong. His play in transition is strong. And so, you know, I think a lot of us think when you're building lineups around Trey, you need shooting. And that's true. And that's not a strength of his right now. So I think when we reflect on how Quinn wants his team to play, the way he wants them to play, as he called it, on the catch, make a decision on the catch within half a second to shoot, attack the closeout, attack the paint, kick, pass it. And Daniels is wired for fast processing and fast decision making, even if the shooting needs some improvement there. So a lot of, I think if we over fixate on the shooting, you see the issue. But some of the other things that Quinn wants his wings and off-ball players to do on offense, a lot of that is already wired into the way he plays.
Talking with Glenn Willis on the WadeFord.com hotline, Glenn of the ATL and 29 podcast, as well as the Peachtree Hoops contributor. You can follow him on social media at Willis_Glenn. Look, it seems like the Hawks right now, limited cap space, you know, until they're going to hit that luxury tax threshold. There's been discussions of if they're going to continue to upgrade this team currently, if they kind of just ride it out. One of the names that I have seen you amongst, you know, discussion with as a potential sign and trade option being DeMar DeRozan. Are you in on that being a viable option for the Hawks to go out and get, or do you think, you know, potentially that's a move the Hawks stay away from?
But so I think he'd be a really interesting fit for the Hawks. Now, Hawks fans that like are trying to like, hey, let's shoot higher, right? I think they may not have a full appreciation for kind of where the Hawks are in terms of their cap sheet. I know you had Keith Smith on in the last hour, and he could do a way better job than me explaining the maneuvering that has to happen around that. So to be able to do a sign and trade with DeRozan, first of all, DeRozan would have to pick the Hawks, and I have no idea what the likelihood of that is. I've seen nothing. I've heard nothing around that. The other thing is the Hawks would have to maneuver down below the first apron to be able to be under the first apron after making that move. So that's probably trading two players that are making real money as a starting point. Maybe that's Hunter. Maybe that's Capella. Maybe that's someone else. But it would take some work to do that. But for me, losing DeJounte and then finding a replacement while you're grooming Ricochet to play at the three down the road, DeRozan coming in, playing that position, his ability to play with force, his efficiency as a scorer, his ability to play off of Trey. I think, again, if you go into a lab and design the perfect guy, is DeRozan the perfect guy? No, but where the Hawks are financially, you can't go seek the perfect guy, but he brings a lot of stuff. For example, DeJounte being smaller, didn't finish at the rim at a super high level. DeRozan does, right? And so you just get a bigger guy, a more forceful offensive player. I think it would work quite well, but it starts with DeRozan saying, okay, that's somewhere I'd be open to playing.
Sure. How much does the fact of you'd have to sign him to a multi-year deal, probably what we're talking 3-4 years, I'd have to imagine the $20 million range, how much of that combined with the fact that he is, going to be 35 or is 35, does that factor into the Hawks' decisions?
Yeah, so, again, a lot of this goes back to what DeRozan wants. So, they would, in a sign-and-trade, has to be a 3-year deal, but only the first year has to be guaranteed. And if you read the reporting, it sounds like DeRozan might want to get back on the market in 1 year. So if the Hawks, you know, offer, okay, you know, 3 years, second and third year, kind of an option that can get him back on the market, that I think that's one way the Hawks might be able to attract him there, if that's something that they want to do. So there's a little bit more flexibility there than just an outright fully guaranteed 3-year deal. And again, the big thing is if he wants to get back on the market next summer because he's not getting the contract he wants this summer, that might help the Hawks a little bit there.
Glenn, it feels like the stock on Onyeka Okongwu is pretty low coming off a bit of a disappointing season, having the toe injury, you know, top all of that as well. Are you someone who is still a believer in Onyeka and his contributions to this team? Do you think that can kind of step up this year, or is he potentially a guy who is looking, you know, to be on his way out of the city?
So I'm still a believer, especially in the offense. I do think there's quite a bit he needs to clean up defensively. And then that's a long conversation we don't have to talk
about. Sure.
But offensively, his ability to handle, pass, self-create, his ability to drive the ball, opposing centers really just can't keep him generally in front. But there's a question, like, how much with Trae Young on your team, how much do you want to lean into playing through a guy like Onyeka Okongwu, who's very skilled offensively for a center? And that's something like only Quinn really knows, how comfortable he is tilting the offense towards him having more usage, right? So I believe the offensive package is pretty unique. On defense, I think putting bigger guys at the 2, the 3, and the 4 will help him be more successful defensively. And I think that's an important thing that they're constructing. For me, I may have even told you last time we talked, whether the Hawks go with the center in the draft or not tells me a lot about how they feel about Okongwu. Them choosing Ricochet tells me potentially they really do believe in him as their long-term starter, but they want to build a lineup with more defensive leads around him, more rebounding around him to set him up for more success defensively. So, I could look foolish in 48 hours if he's in a trade, you know, but for me, I think the Ricochet pick makes me think that they're pretty bullish on him, but that they want a different lineup construction to set him up for success.
Yeah, no, it certainly is one of those, just because he hasn't been a part of a deal so far makes you think that it is certainly possible that they see long-term goals in him. Now, Glenn, someone that at least for the immediate future, they declined to bring him back for the moment, allowing him to be an unrestricted free agent, is Sadiq Bey. Do you see him as being someone that is still in the Hawks' plans, or was, you know, declining that that option for him just kind of a sign that he's on his way out, as he's got this upcoming season where he's going to be rehabbing and you don't really know how much of the season he's going to be able to play?
Yeah, that is such a tough one, because for me, I, when you're coming back from an injury, maybe being in a familiar setting, like coming back to the same setting you were in last year, working with this, and I know the Hawks have had some turnover in their training and health staff, so I don't know how much that means, but I mean, part of it just might be like, does he want to kind of stay somewhere that's familiar to him just to do all the work of this rehab, or does he just want to go somewhere that will tell him, hey, when you're ready to go in February or whenever it is, we're going to commit to playing you, right? And I would have to think a guy who's going to be an unrestricted free agent, presumably if he's on a short-term deal, could be an unrestricted free agent a year from now. He want to go somewhere where they're committing playing time to him. Can the Hawks do that the way they're building their roster? That might be pretty hard for them to make that commitment. Going to, say, a team that's younger and rebuilding and wants a veteran to kind of step in to that lineup spot, my guess is he might want to go somewhere that where playing time commitment is the priority.
No, that makes a lot of sense. All right, final one for you, Glenn. Realistic expectations for Zachary Risacher early on. I know I've been asked by a few different people about this, and it feels kind of a difficult one to define, but what are you expecting realistically from Zachary Risacher early on through summer league and then as the season begins?
You know, I'm excited. I'll be there for their first two games in summer league, sitting in my sauna like 14 hours a day trying to get ready for that heat. But I'm excited to see him up, you know, in person. For me, I think development should be the priority for the whole first season that he has. I know there's debates about should he start, should he not start. Oh, a first overall pick automatically should be a starter. I just don't think that's necessarily the case here. I think it's fine if he is a starter, if he shows he can kind of handle that responsibility. But for me, I just want to see them invest in his development and let him kind of ease into the responsibilities that come along. And I want them to deprioritize the optics of him being the first pick and not really worry about that. Because, I mean, if he doesn't start, people will say stuff.
Oh, yeah.
And if he's not playing a ton of minutes, people will say stuff. But I don't think that you want to manage your plan to what people are going to say about what you're doing or not doing. So I hope they ease him in. And I think he's going to have a kind of a typical rookie season, but I think, you know, year two, year three, that he could really give them a lot.
No, that makes a lot of sense. That is Glenn Willis of the ATL and 29 podcast. Give him a follow on social media at @Willis_Glenn. Really appreciate you giving us some of your time on this 4th of July.
Always enjoy talking with you, Kate.
All right, when we get back, going to do a Check the Tape segment. Listen to some audio from Brian Snicker and Chris Sale, among others. It's all coming up next on the Dopey Millennial Show, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.